Today's episode is sponsored by Selena's Mexican Restaurant and Taqueria in Rochester, New York. Selena's is celebrating our 25th year in Rochester, and we are proud to continue offering fresh-made, Mexican-inspired recipes that are affordable and served by Rochester's best. Check out our event space for private occasions, as well as our catering menu for groups of 10 to 2,000. Looking for something different to do? Selena's hosts monthly tequila tasting classes, as well as corporate team-building seminars. Check out the website to learn more, selenas.com. SALENAS.com.
Jazzcast Pros.
Welcome back to another episode of Getting Real with Bossy. How's it going?
You know, I feel bad saying this, but I love my 40s. And I feel bad because I think that every version of me before the 40s sucked and didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And I feel like people in their 20s and 30s are going to hear this and be like, oh, you have no idea. Like, you were there for part of it. I had so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't regret I regret not saving some money. I don't regret anything I did leading up until this moment.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much internally that we carry. And I think it's not just women, but I think it's harder for women because we have so many different levels and expectations and layers that we have to navigate throughout every experience we have in the world that we carry through every moment of our day. And in my 40s, and maybe it's not everybody, but in my 40s, I was like, I don't care.
No.
This is amazing. There are some things that still sit, but I'm better at pushing them aside and being like, you know what? It's okay that my pants don't fit. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's okay that I'm not wearing makeup. Like, I never left the house without makeup on until the pandemic. So it was kind of a, you know, 40s and pandemic thing. But I grew up that you always had to look your best.
Nope. Nope.
And I'm like, why do I have to look my best? I just need to go to work.
Yeah, the 40s have been great. I am 2 years from 50, so I'm looking forward to that because I think it's only going to get better. And I want to touch on what you just said about it being tough for women. You hear about midlife and you think just in general society, women, it's like horrific. And men get a crisis where they get to buy, I don't know, Lamborghinis. Is that, you know, I don't know.
You talk about menopause for women.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's like, oh, you're a hormonal hot flashing mess.
Exactly. And men get to have this like reinvention
they get
of themselves.
And Lamborghinis and they run off to private islands. And we're like, oh, but we get hot flashes. Mm-hmm. Like, that's our midlife is menopause. I actually saw a meme recently that said, you know that being a mom is harder than being a dad. Because you've never heard of a woman that had a second family.
Good point. This doesn't happen. Doesn't happen.
You're like, no, because I don't want that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then part of it, I get pissed because the COVID, I leaned into my 40s. I was like, this is amazing. I love the way I feel. And I had that also when I turned 30, but it was like so much bigger when I turned 40. And then the pandemic hit and I like lost like 3 years of my 40s. And I'm like, but these are the best years. I want them back. Like, I feel like, but I hear that 50s is even better. So.
Well, we're going to learn that today from our guest, Allison Jacobson, the midlife maverick. I just love that name so much. So many people hear maverick and think this really masculine thing. And she's like, oh, no, 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 no. I am the midlife maverick. And I'm going to tell you why it's amazing to be a woman, a woman entrepreneur, a woman whatever in your midlife times. I'm hoping I can keep this with me every day because there are times when I'm like, oh, if I was only younger, I could have done this. And I don't want to think that anymore because women are doing cool shit as they continue to age.
Yeah. And being young has nothing to do with it.
I think it's
and
energy.
You have less money when you're young.
Right. Like, uh-huh.
You know, and you're all over the place. You don't necessarily know what you want. You're still filtering out the world and all of the stuff that's coming at you. Whereas once you get into your 40s, 50s, and 60s, like, you've already filtered it. You know what you don't want to put up with. You're over it. You're like, no, you're not in my life anymore. You can be in my life, but sometimes.
Exactly.
So yeah, Allison talks about amazing things. Her adversity. Oh my gosh.
Talk about somebody who really went through it and came out in this light. I feel like everybody that we talk to really has that moment where they're like, and this is when I was at my lowest, and we're like, oh my God, but hers is, oh my God.
And really, that does encapsulate Maverick, right? Like that giant change from being at your lowest of lows to being at the highest of highs. Very Top Gun.
You need to be resilient to be a business owner in general, and she can show you how to do it, because if she can do it, we all can buckle up and make it happen.
And we keep saying it's hope, healing, mm-hmm. and that mindset of setting things into the way you want them to be and then making them happen.
Manifesting the shit out of this year, Kelly.
The Union Tavern is a beautifully restored building with a rich history and views of Lake Ontario. Featuring New England favorites and hearty comfort food, everyone will have a favorite dish. From large groups to intimate dinners, there's plenty of space to celebrate special occasions. Come visit us at 4565 Culver Road, right across from the Jackrabbit.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Kelly,
the host of Getting Real with Bossy, the real, raw, and honest podcast about small business ownership. With our experience, 9 businesses and over 25 years, we continue to bear it all and share what we wish we had known.
We move past the must be nices and start getting real. Come along as we interview small business owners and get the true story with Allison Jacobson, the midlife maverick.
Woohoo! Hey, thank you guys for having me.
So, midlife maverick, I want to find out how you came up with that, because I feel just like with us, with Bossy, we kind of tried to embrace a word that was negative to describe women. And I hear the word maverick, and maybe it's just me or Top Gun, and it's such a masculine word. So one of the things when we first had the opportunity to talk to you, I'm like, yes, because you're taking that word. And I think that's amazing. So I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but how did you land on that term?
Well, you're right. I didn't think of the Top Gun, and I love Top Gun, but you're right. Maverick is more of a masculine term, because mavericks are those people that just break through boundaries, that try different new things, that don't care if they're going against the popular culture. And that's what I wanted, especially for women in midlife. We are so often discounted. We're invisible. And we need to just break through all of that, you know, and literally live life on our terms unapologetically. And to me, that's what a maverick does. And that's what I want everybody in my world and my community to do, to live life on their terms.
Thank you for being here.
I started out as an entrepreneur. I had my first business when I was 24 years old. It was a PR firm. I sold it to a multinational PR firm when I was 28 years old. Been an entrepreneur most of my life. Moved back to New York, where I'm from. And unfortunately, my first son died of sudden infant death syndrome, which completely changed the path of where I thought my life was going. It was full stop, let's change. Went on to have my second son, who has intellectual disabilities, which once again changed me, but it was leading me somewhere, right? And where so that led me was to my next entrepreneurial, where I was a spokesperson for child safety products, for just everything known as the safety mom. I did all sorts of on-camera appearances, blogs, everything around family and child safety, which was fabulous. From there, I went through a horrific divorce. It was horrible. I ended up having to declare bankruptcy because it took all of my money to get a divorce. Met and married a fabulous guy who, unfortunately, 4 weeks after we married, was diagnosed with primary progressive MS. So I went from being a new bride to another caregiver, caring for my son with intellectual disabilities, caring for my husband, rebuilding myself after my bankruptcy, which actually was a gift that I do look at now. So lots went into this. But what I realized through all of this is I faced some of those things that people say, I could never go through this, or it was the greatest fears of your life. And I survived them. Not only did I survive, but I thrived and I made a life out of it, coaching women how to get past their deepest, darkest fears, their insecurities, their lack of confidence to become the kick-ass, badass, amazing women they're meant to be in midlife and to create those businesses, to end those marriages, to start those marriages, to do what they want in midlife, despite all of the obstacles.
So two things really quick. One is you never mentioned in that whole story that you were also caring for yourself.
Right.
And that's a huge thing for women.
Yes.
That we do it. We have to do it. We don't always realize we're doing it, but it is happening or else we wouldn't get through this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Right. So we know it happens, but we don't talk about it.
No.
But the other thing is that these things happen in midlife and there's a reason for that, I feel like. So when I always get mad because COVID stole my 40s, but I loved my 40s. Like I turned 40 and I was like, oh, I like this.
Yeah, we are midlife.
Yeah, I was like, I like 40s. And then COVID like kind of, I was like, I want those years back because I want to be, I don't know what my 50s are going to bring. So I'm like, I love my 40s. I want them back so I can appreciate them more. I'm going to be 46 in 19 days. Most people are like, oh my God, I can't get older. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like your 40s are the best. And it might not be for everybody. But for me, even with the pandemic, like the person I am able to be in my 40s because of everything I have survived and gotten through, and that's molded me to be here, right, is not the person I was in my 20s. It's not the person I was in my 30s. And that's okay. So I guess with that like lead in, my first question is, how do you define midlife? Is it a number or is it a stage?
So if you had asked me this question even just 2 weeks ago, I would have said it's a stage. And I do still think it's a stage. It's the stage when you finally realize that you count, you matter. And you're absolutely right. Like I would not have gotten through everything I got through without starting to really selfishly, and I'm using the word selfish in a good way, care for myself. Coaching, meditation, yoga, prayer, everything, and finding those times for me. So that was number one. You're absolutely right. The reason I say I've changed is I also have a podcast, Midlife Mavericks, and my guest that I recorded with yesterday is known as the Menopause Guru. She is a coach. Here's what I didn't know about menopause. Menopause, as we know, changes your estrogen. What I never heard was that before you go into menopause, the estrogen from when we were caveman days made us care. We were the caregivers for everybody else. And when that estrogen declines, it shifts your mindset to stop caring for other people as much. We're always moms and everything, but start saying, what about me? And I never knew that. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Like I never knew that. So I just found that so incredibly cool. The other thing I'm going to say too, and here's a tip. So I am 58 years old. It does keep getting better. It keeps getting better and better and better. All right. So you need to know that because my 40s was kind of a shit show. Like that's when my marriage went overboard. I declared bankruptcy. I got the new husband. So that was a tough time for me. And it wasn't until 50 where I started really coming into myself. Now, what I also didn't mention is last year was when I really came into my own self. I ran the New York City Marathon at 57 years old.
Because you were a runner all your life, right?
Not at all. I went from running 1 mile to 26 miles in a year. In a year. I also launched my first book, Daily Inspirations for Midlife Women, A Guide to Peace, Joy, Confidence, and Abundance. So I did that in 2022. And last year, I got my first and only tattoo.
What'd you get?
Yes. So this goes back to, as I said, my son dying. My sign for him has always been butterflies. Whenever I see butterflies, I know it. And in addition to being a coach, I am the CEO of a nonprofit, First Candle, which addresses sudden infant death syndrome, which is what he died from. And we have a team that runs in the New York City Marathon. We're one of their partners. So every year I've gone and cheered people on. And I said at 2021, this is awesome. When I'm 60, I'm going to do that. And I said, that's a load of crap. That is an excuse. I'm putting it off. I'm going to do it next year because it was Connor's 25th anniversary. It was also the 1 year anniversary of my best friend dying from cancer. And she knew she was dying. And we had a lot of talks about this. And she said she was going to go up to heaven and watch over Connor. And I was going to watch over her son, who's the same age down here. And our sign was going to be sunflowers. So when I was running, now keep in mind, it's November when you run the New York City Marathon. I was at mile 10 and all of a sudden I look and there's a butterfly flying along with me. And then I turn, and this is going to freak you guys out. There was a funeral home, and right next to the funeral home was a garden with sunflowers blooming in November.
Oh, come on. Stop it.
No. So my tattoo is a butterfly sitting on a sunflower, of course. And I got it on the anniversary she died.
That is beautiful. Did you pause at that mile 10 and just embrace what was surrounding you? Or did you just like...
I kept running, but my jaw dropped and I got chills because I couldn't believe this was really happening. And yeah, I did start crying. There was tears in my eyes because I knew my angels were running alongside of me. I knew I was okay.
That's amazing.
That makes me think about what you just said was the title of your book, which the subline is peace, joy, confidence, and abundance. Everything that you said in the title of that book. And I think about the word abundance. And as women, we're not comfortable defining what abundance and success look like. And we've been talking about that a lot lately. Mm-hmm. Everything you've been through, like you've had various levels of what other people might define as success and abundance and what that looks like to the world. But I don't think that we qualify or quantify even what that looks like for us, because what the world sees or what other people see as abundance and success might not line up with what makes us feel like we have that. But that story right there, like that makes me think about success and abundance. But it has nothing to do with financials.
Right.
Well, and it's funny you say that, because with my coaching clients, there's two things that I talk about. One is, you know, everybody knows what makes them upset. Everybody knows what they need to work on. But when you stop and say, how do you define happiness? Man, that stops people in their tracks. And if you can't define happiness and your goal, how are you ever going to get there? And that's one of the problems that leads into the finance. We keep striving and striving and striving because we haven't defined when we reach that goal. And the same thing, if I say to someone, well, what does success look like? What is abundance? And they'll say, well, I want to make $100,000. Well, why? $100,000 doesn't mean anything. It's literally either electronic wires going through the air now or that piece of paper. Does it buy you peace? Does it buy you joy? I remember when I went through my bankruptcy and my life was so chaotic, all I wanted was peace. And peace to me meant enough to pay my bills and make sure my kids were okay. That's all I needed. And so I reached that level. And then I could work on the next level. What does that look like? Well, now that my husband has primary progressive MS, it means having enough money to know that I'm going to be able to care for him, that I'm going to be able to get an aide, that I'm going to be able to build that beach house that is handicap accessible. So now I have that next goal, but it's not a dollar figure. It is the abundance to have peace in my life.
Right. For women too, it's hard for us to define those things because there's so much coming in from society and our families, and this is what success is. And you've gotten there because of going through some pretty horrific life events. And I think that makes you the perfect person to work with other people who haven't had to go through those things to get there, to understand, like, what do all these things mean for me, not for what I think it has to mean, because it's such a tricky thing. We go through that as business owners all the time. We're literally just talking about it today, like, you know, what is that success? How do you measure that? What does that mean? How much time do you have to be putting in? And it's just, or what does it mean that we get to spend time with our families? That's a level of success. It may not look like success to the bank we're trying to get a loan from, but we get so hung up in those things. And I love so many things about what you do and some of the things I downloaded from you that I'm now reading and going, oh, I love it. It's fantastic.
Well, and I think, you know, that's one of the things I always say too. Success is very subjective. I mean, I have coaches in my own life that I work with who are great, but they're at a different life stage than me. They're single. They don't have kids. They're 30 years younger. And so they may be reaching a goal way before I am, but it's okay because my life looks different. And, you know, especially I've been in a lot of masterminds with younger women and they have this frustration because they have toddlers or they have 7-year-olds. And I'm like, it's okay. That's your life stage right now. And success looks different than where I am right now, where my kids are off in college. And it's just a different time and it's okay.
Can we talk about, I want to get into some of the work that you do, this life-changing thing for me, this 5 steps to release fear and live boldly. I don't know if I can get close enough where you can actually see that, but it is
a download.
It is a download. And I just want, could you describe a little bit about it? Cause I have some things I want to talk about.
Well, I have to say, I have a different perspective now, but when I was going through my divorce, it was emotionally and verbally tough. And my self-confidence was in the toilet and there was a lot of triggering things. Like literally I would get emails and I could feel knots in my stomach and it was just horrific. It did a real number on me. And so a lot of what's in there came out of that time. And it's a lot of what I coach other women about because it is that insecurity, that fear and all of that. And one of the big ones I talk about is I don't care who it is, but you really need to objectify the fear. And so, especially when you're going through a divorce or something, you need to stop discussing your soon-to-be ex-partner by his or her name because that's no longer the person. And that person elicits a lot of emotions. And so, like I said, what is one thing that you really dislike or whatever. So I had a client, she was a kindergarten teacher and she, you know, really, really hated Oscar the Grouch. So she started calling her ex-husband or soon to be ex-husband Oscar. She changed the name of him in her phone to Oscar. And so she objectified him. He was no longer that other name. He was Oscar. And so she no longer had those feelings of fear. She almost had humor about it, but it disassociated her. And so that's one of the things I always talk about. The other is unraveling that fear. Like you said, I've been through hell and back in a lot of ways, but I survived. And what you need to do is start playing out, if that worst thing happened, what next? What next? What next? What would you do? Because we get so hung up in our head of that gerbil, just, you know, that middle of that night, fear.
The what ifs.
Right, the what ifs. And so when you start having a plan for that, those what ifs, you realize you can get through anything. You can get through anything, but you have to unravel that fear.
I call myself an optimistic pessimist mm-hmm. because my entire life plan is expect the worst and hope for the best.
Yep.
So like I have to know what the worst case scenario, like I talked to my financial advisor and I'm like, okay, the markets crash. We have an apocalypse. I need to live off the land. And he's like, oh my God. Okay. So we're going to call that plan, you know,
right. That's plan L.
Not likely, but I have to know what the worst case mm-hmm. scenario is and then work from there. And then I hope for the best case. Like, okay, this is my goal. This is my aim. This is what I'm working for. This is what my hope is and all my work's going in. But then I just have to know what that is so that it doesn't cripple me.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, so many women, especially women go through divorce, think they're going to be homeless on the street. Man, that's a big, genuine fear. And it doesn't happen. But that is the image we have. And so we have to start unraveling. Okay, you know, if I get a divorce and I don't have the money, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to get a job. Well, I don't have any skills anymore. What am I going to do? Well, you're going to take a course. Okay, if I take a course, where am I going to get the money to take a course? Well, you're going to get a loan. You're going to borrow. So you keep working through that to realize there are those steps you can take.
Right.
I think it's the same for business too, mm-hmm. right? Business, like especially closing a business, is a lot like a divorce because your passion and your love and your energy all got poured into it. And that's actually something else we've talked about a lot over the past year, is separating that and being like, okay, well, this is my passion and my love. Is it worth continuing and fixing, or has it ran its course and this relationship needs to end?
Right. Because sometimes it does, and that's okay. Like, not all divorces are horrific. Not all closings of businesses is because you failed. It's just, it's time.
Right. And unfortunately, like you said, we have so many of those stories from our past, from our parents who are, you stick it out. Well, no, you don't necessarily stick it out. If it's a bad business situation or a bad relationship situation, no, you don't stick it out. On the other hand, if you have fear of not being good enough and you're making decisions and you're procrastinating because you're afraid of taking that next step, maybe taking out a loan to expand your business because afraid of failing or not being good enough, you got to look at that too.
And that goes back to financials too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the biggest failure is bankruptcy.
Yep. Right. But it's not.
When it comes down to it, it's like, okay, well, if that does happen,
right,
it's your worst case. Okay, right. Well, how do you handle that if that happens to be your worst case?
Well, and like I said earlier, it was actually the biggest blessing in disguise, because I had grown up with a family who was, I mean, my financials were great. My credit history was great. That, you know, that was something I prided myself on. And unfortunately, I took my eye off the ball. I was the primary breadwinner in my household. I was making high six figures. I was raising the kids. I was dealing with the grief, and I let my ex-husband manage the finances, and I took my eye off the ball, and it was a big mistake. And that's what started leading down the way. And so when I ended up having, and P.S., even if a judge says you have to split debt 50-50, if the debt is all in your name, the credit card company doesn't care what that judge said. It's in your name. So that was the situation I was in. And so when I had to declare bankruptcy, it was humiliating. I remember leaving that courtroom, pulling over to the side of the road and just sobbing, because it was so humiliating, so embarrassing. But it taught me, okay, big girl pants on. You're never not going to look at your income again. You're never not going to go to the grocery store and just hope and pray your debit card goes through, or hope and pray you've still got enough money on your credit card. You're going to deal with things. You're not going to have surprises anymore. And you're going to live by what you make. And so for 4 years, I didn't have a credit card. But everybody's so worried, oh, what are you going to do? Have to get a car. I got a car. I was able to get a car. So there are things, but man, what you learn about not being in denial, not having those stories of I'm not good with money. Yeah, you're good with money. It is just that you were taught that somebody else can handle the money. And so as soon as you start looking at it, now to me, it's a game. It's like, I look at it constantly because it's a game, and I enjoy looking at it because now I'm saving and now I'm investing and now I'm making the money. But if I could do it, anybody could do it.
You were defined. One of your definitions of success was a financial goal, a financial, I don't know what the word I'm looking for here is. And then you lost that, right? So you know what it is to lose something that defines you as a human being and then be able to rebuild that.
Yeah. I mean, going back to what you said about, here's the worst case scenario. The problem is, somewhere in the back of your head is still that worst case scenario. Here's what we have to understand about law of attraction and manifestation. It is not just woo-woo. It is actually science-based. There is something in your brain called the RAD. It's the reticular activating system. And basically what that is what your thoughts are is what you're going to see more of. Because think about it. When we were little kids, we had to really focus on walking. We had to focus on all that stuff. Now we just do it subconsciously. We don't even think about walking. But whatever is in your brain is what you are going to be focused on most. So if you are focused on my car is breaking down, my house is breaking down, whatever it is, you're going to see more of broken down cars and all of that. If you are focused on the positive, and that's where the mantras come in, that's what you're going to see. You're going to see more opportunities. You're going to find people down the street that you're going to connect with that you never knew are in investments or in something that you want help with. And so as soon as you start having those mantras of, I am, not in the future, I am successful. I am a powerful business owner. I help women. I am an amazing podcast host. That is bringing it into your reality. That is going to start bringing more and more of the things you want into your life. My mantra right now is, I am a powerful coach who helps women.
I love it.
Yeah. And that's very true. Another thing you talk about, which I think is so important, finding your village, finding your people, leaning on them. And it's so important to do that. But I feel like it's so important to also recognize some of your village is not the right people, even if they're people who are really close to you or people you've been around for so long. And like, how can we help people, or how maybe it's something you do? How do you help people acknowledge who are the right people and acknowledge that the wrong ones are really actually quite harmful?
Again, going back to being women, we are so attuned to being that caring person, that emotional person. And I think that we do hang on to relationships longer than we should, especially those that are not helpful, those frenemies. I mean, unfortunately, mean girl syndrome still goes on, and we see it online.
At any age.
Yeah.
People in my life who are quite a bit older, like it's still there.
Well, it's true. And, you know, that goes back to the success, the mindset of success, where we may be holding ourselves back as business owners because we're afraid those people in our life will be jealous or resentful if we're making more money than them or we're more successful. So I know that happened to me very frequently, where I was working, I was doing podcasts, whatever. And people would be like, well, you can't come out to lunch with us? Why can't you do that? Or, oh, well, I just, you know, I'm always broke. You know, you've got those people that are constantly in that lack mindset, and you have to put up those barriers around them and gently get them out of your life. Now, with friends, it's a little easier. When it's family, it's not so easy, but you can choose not to share information about your business or not to share things. You have those safe topics that you can speak to with those people, but you've got to surround yourself. I have a Facebook group, Midlife Mavericks, specifically for that, for women who need support in their life that they may not be getting in real life. And I'm sure you guys have the same situation. There are people that you just have to let go because they're from your past. They share that chaos, that lack time, and you've got to have that village of people who inspire you, who motivate you, who support you, and have then that vulnerability and that safety area to ask for that help, where they will help you.
Right. And realizing that sometimes those people are there for a certain part of your life and maybe not another one, and being able to kind of relocate part of your village for a little while.
Yeah.
But just maybe they're not there at the right time.
People find that a lot when they're going through a divorce. The people they thought were going to be there for them are gone, and people they least expected stepped into their life. And that's because it's a stage. And again, you know, in midlife, I really made my close-knit circle really tight, because that's the beauty of midlife too. I don't have time for drama. The drama I see my daughters going through in their 20s, oh my God, like, it's exhausting.
So, I was just telling my daughter the other day, she's 14, I was like, I just need you to only have one friend that draws negativity. Mm-hmm. Like, you have lots of friends, and if we could just stick to like one or less that's not a positive influence, you know, like, you can't have all your friends pulling that drama. You're always going to have somebody that's dramatic in your life and fine, and you care about that person. But let's just stick it to one negative person in your circle. I'm sure everybody else is lifting you up and making you feel better.
Yes. And it's definitely hard when it's your family that's not necessarily supportive of you. I mean, I love my husband, but he is definitely more of a half empty glass kind of guy. And I'll never forget when I decided to run the New York City Marathon, I came home and I'm like, I'm going to run the New York City Marathon. He's like, oh, I don't know, honey, that's a lot. And I'm like, game on, sucker.
Yeah. Challenge accepted.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, of course I love him, but when I'm taking on if I'm starting a new program through my coaching, I don't talk to him about it till it's done. I didn't talk to him about my book till it was done, because I can't allow those feelings of doubt to creep in.
Right.
I'm listening to you talk about midlife. We're talking about our 40s and being excited to be getting into our 50s. And it is empowering. Mm-hmm. It is a maverick move to change and release everything that's not benefiting you as a human being. Then it does take us so long to get to the point where we're confident enough to do that.
Right.
And maybe it is our estrogen levels, and maybe it's society bearing down on us, telling us we need to do, take care, which probably doesn't help the estrogen levels.
Well.
but getting to that point of release is such a powerful thing. And A, it should be talked about more with women.
Mm-hmm.
And B, it's not a crisis.
Right.
Your old life was a crisis. It was a crisis that you had to live in almost a recurring trauma, dealing with things that weren't bringing you joy and weren't making you a better person.
And literally, that's what breaks my heart. That's what breaks my heart every time a woman comes to me and just says either she's just living a life of no intention or just stuck or bored or confused or upset. And it's like, you don't have to be, you know, like you get one shot at life. What are you doing? Why aren't you happy? And so that is why, I mean, literally, if I could just work with every woman out there, and that's why I do have free resources. I try to make everything at a different level. I mean, I do one-on-one coaching, absolutely, but it's like, just live your life.
And I'm fine. I feel like that just popped in my head while you were talking. Mm-hmm. Like women might not say that they're upset. They might not say they're unhappy. They may not say that they're displeased, but they'll say I'm fine.
Right. You are really just defining the word midlife. I feel like
I'm so all excited. Right.
I know. But, you know, people are so scared of it. They're so uncomfortable. You're supposed to be here and you're not here. And that's how could I start a new career at 48, which is my age. And but you are saying it's possible that midlife is a time for change. So embrace the change and change the things that aren't working in your life. And I want everybody to hear this. Everybody mm-hmm. needs to hear this message.
Yes. And the reality is the majority of female entrepreneurs have started their businesses after 45 years old.
Really?
Yep.
All
right. We're doing okay.
Yep. Well, because I think...
No, because we're not supposed to compare.
No, it's true.
Go back. Yeah. I'm cutting that, Kelly. No, we're doing fine because we are at where we're at.
Yes.
But I think, you know, it is the perfect age to start a business because you've had the life experience of recognizing the bullshit, recognizing the misogyny, recognizing all of the life experience you have. And yeah, you can have millennials that roll their eyes and say, well, you don't know this. You can learn it. You can take a class. There is nothing you can't learn. But what you can't learn is the empathy, the connections, the wiseness we have as midlife women. That is invaluable.
And that's abundance.
Yes.
I think that goes back to that abundance word. Mm-hmm. That's something you can't just find.
Right. I know.
I feel so empowered.
I do too.
But that's what I love about you guys. Like you said, get real with Bossy. I mean, you're right. It is a masculine word. It is that boss, but you are the boss of yourself finally.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. And I think, again, like I said before, selfish gets a bad rap as a word.
Right.
There is nothing wrong with being selfish. You're thinking of yourself. You're considering yourself. I mean, good God, if you didn't, it would be that old analogy of put your own oxygen mask on first, right?
Right.
Mama goes down, the whole family goes down.
Yeah, being selfish is incredibly healthy. And if you were not on some level selfish, you really can't do for others.
Right. And what I hate are all of those cliches of self-care of get a manicure, you know, read a book. That's not self-care. That's momentary that all of us deserve. Self-care is taking a sabbatical. Self-care is going on a vacation for 3 days by yourself. Self-care is hiring a coach. Self-care is those big things that you do. Self-care is getting a tattoo because I've never had a tattoo in my life.
Right.
And I said, it's time.
I'm so glad you say
self-care.
That too. We talk about this a lot in our groups and just in general about self-care and like, you just need to get a pedicure. I'm like, that's not, A, it's not enough time. And B, my phone's going to go off. Or C, there's always something. And scheduling it sometimes, scheduling those little things is almost more stressful than I'm going to be gone for 3 days because I'm going to, you know, we're going to take off and go on a little staycation or go away for a couple of days.
Honestly, and I think that, well, for me anyways, self-care are the things that I'm doing to take control of my life. They're not moments where I'm getting my nails done or going to lunch with my girlfriends, because those are things I want to do. So I'm going to do them anyways.
Right.
Because I'm selfish.
When my friend Barb died, as I said, she knew she was dying for a year and she really wanted me there and I was there and the adrenaline was going. And I knew once she passed, I was going to have to really process a lot. And so I rented a house. I love the beach. I'm a beach girl. I rented a house on the beach in Rhode Island in December. This was a beach town. It was empty, absolutely empty. It was absolutely dreamy. I did not answer my phone. I told my family, unless there's jail or a hospital involved, I don't want to hear from you. I tuned out everything and I just journaled and walked on the beach and thought. And it was so luxurious, so necessary. I can't tell you how many women are like, that's me. I want to do that. And I really want to take that type of retreat, because it is. It's just getting away.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that can be something in your future. You set up a retreat and we can all come with you and you can show us how it's done.
Yep. Love that's it. One of my goals.
And then lock all of our doors so we're not allowed to talk to each other.
Yep.
Like, okay, now you have to go be by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
It's so hard to do. I'm having ankle surgery at the end of the month and I will be convalescing at my mother's house just because it's going to be easier. My father was in a wheelchair at the end of his life, so it's very accessible. So I can, it's the right place to be. But the internet's terrible out there. She lives on the lake and it's horrible. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be horrible or amazing. Like, I don't want to tell anybody. I'm like, oh, you're not going to be able to get a hold of me unless you call me. Like, I might be able to get that. But like, doing Zooms and
I'm going to send you memes. I don't care if you get them.
Send me memes all the time. It's just I'm looking forward to it. And it's so silly that it takes something like that for me to just really unplug. Mm-hmm. And that will be some level of self-care for me, because
we talked about this with Imani in our last interview, that sometimes you have to force it in your body.
Oh.
When you're not letting yourself get it, your body's going to show up and be like, no, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to shut down now.
The digital detox is real and you do need to shut down. And, you know, that's another thing I talk about, when one of the excuses of I don't have time to start a business, you know, yeah, you do. If you think about all of the time you're scrolling on your phone, if you think about the time you're sitting watching Netflix, take half of that. And I guarantee you've just found 10 hours in your week.
Yeah, that's very true. I just started doing that. Like in the mornings, it used to be the time where I would just go through the internet, go through social media and just like watch a show or two on Netflix. In the last couple of weeks, I'm like, or just do that for a half an hour and maybe, you know, watch the news or listen to a podcast or something. And I just get going a little bit earlier. And it's really changed so much for me at work too, because you just get caught up in it. And all of a sudden I'm like, how has it been like 3 hours? Like, why is Netflix already asking me if I'm still watching? That's embarrassing. But you get caught up in it and it becomes this release, because, you don't have to think, and work is stressful and I want to avoid it. But just kind of tackling the day.
Ugh. Well, and also I had a guest on about mindful eating. I mean, it's one thing we all say, oh, put your phones away and, you know, don't have them while you're eating. But when's the last time you went out to a restaurant and just ate by yourself? Without looking at your phone, without reading. Like, that is real mindful time to sit, and it's hard.
I tried that for the first time ever this year. And I think it wasn't even on purpose. Like, I just was hungry and I had time and I actually went to a restaurant instead of, you know, running through a coffee shop, and tried really hard to not go on my phone because I'm always looking around and everybody's and it bothers me. And I'm like, okay, we can do this.
Yep.
And then I just felt like a stalker. I was like, I don't know where to look. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Right.
Yeah. It's a strange feeling, but getting into that feeling is awesome.
Yeah. I remember there's this hotel in Albany that I used to stay at when I had to go to Albany a lot, and the reception there is terrible. And I was like, I have to eat by myself. And I was like, I'm just going to sit and look around. And like, And for us in the restaurant world too, like to be able to do that, and you get so many ideas of what you want to do or what you don't want to do, or wow, look at how they're handling that situation. That I want to bring that back to my staff. You can learn so much more when you're just observant.
100%.
Damn these phones.
100%.
Ugh, I hate them. I do.
So Allison, tell us how people can hire you.
So you can go to allison-jacobson.com. I have what's called a 90-minute reboot. So it's one-on-one, but it's only a 90-minute session, which just really gets to the heart of what's going on. And we can do like a really quick little fix on getting you where you want to go. Or you can hire me for a VIP package, which is 6 sessions over the course of 6 months, where we really start uncovering some of those stories, those limiting beliefs that you've had for so long, so that we can put an action plan in place to get you where you want to go and define first where you want to go. Also, as I said, I've got tons of free resources on my site. You can find them under the freebies. I've got, for your guests, the link where you can go to get download that you were talking about, as well as on Amazon, my book, Daily Inspirations for Midlife Women.
And then also the program that you are the CEO of for families that may be going through SIDS loss themselves.
Yes. And that is firstcandle.org. And that is for any family who's experienced the death of a child from sleep-related infant death or stillbirth. We have education programs on safe sleep, but we also have bereavement support because, I mean, even now at 26 years out, there are times where I think, what would he have been doing? Who would he have been? And it's amazing to be able to connect to somebody and share those conversations.
And if it's not just people in midlife, right? Anybody can, women of any age can find you?
Any age can come find me, but only women. I do not work with men. Love men, but that's not my sweet spot. But any woman can come and work with me, yes.
All right. So 2024, what's coming up for you? What are some of your goals? You're going to do the Ironman? write more books? What's up for you?
I was just on a team call and somebody asked me that. And I said, I'm not sure what the adventure is yet, but it's going to be another adventure. So, you know, I'm not sure when this is airing, but we're talking right now in January. I'm going on a cruise with my husband at the end of January. And I think I'm going to do zip lining. I've never zip lined before. So I think it's going to be zip lining. But I love finding those new experiences, new adventures that kind of get my heart racing.
Excellent. Oh, well, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I love doing podcasts and meeting incredible people all over the world. This is great.
All right. Well, next time we're in New York, we're definitely going to come hopefully meet up with you. And I'm going to look into that 90 minutes. I think that's right up my alley and what I need right now. Maybe I'll do that when I'm convalescing.
Absolutely. I'd love to do that. Bye now.
I'm so proud to be in my midlife.
I know.
She makes me feel like it's all okay.
And now I'm even more excited to be 50.
I know. Whew. So close. So close.
I'm ready for it. So she mentions about entrepreneurship later in life. So I did a little digging. And I did see that 64% of entrepreneurs are 40 years old or older. But I also found out, according to Inc.com, that 50-year-old entrepreneurs are twice as likely to have large successes than 30-year-old entrepreneurs.
Interesting.
And that made me like have lots of thoughts. Is it because you're more financially stable at 50 than 30? Is it because you have more experience? So you've done more things to like lead up into that knowledge base of what it takes? You know, or is it that mindset, or is it all three? You know, is it that mindset of like knowing what you want and going for it and digging out all the bullshit?
Right.
Because as a business owner in my 30s, I had so much bullshit. Like there was right. So much bullshit that I dealt with that I don't deal with now.
And I think when you're younger, if something's just not working out, instead of sticking with it and really understanding that some of those setbacks can just be part of your story, you're young. I can do something else. And maybe that has something to do with it. When we're a little bit older, we're like, no, we're going to figure this out. This was a good idea. I just had a little setback. I made a mistake. What can I learn? How can I keep this part of my story?
And I love the manifestations. You know, we keep talking about it. And I think there's science behind it. And, you know, my one daughter says that it makes her feel bad because it just reminds her that something she doesn't think is true. But I think it's important for us to understand that the reason we're doing these things and saying these things is because we know secretly somewhere that it is true and we need to be reminded of it. You know, so being, I am powerful. I am able. I am capable. I am strong. You know, we know these things internally, but then we forget them.
Right. We're mavericks.
We're mavericks.
You can reach out to us at bossyrock.com, R-O-C. Follow us on any social media. You can get to us then too. Same B-O-S-S-Y-R-O-C. Be bold.
Be brave.
Be the boss.
Live it, love it, lime it with Selena's Mexican Restaurant at the Village Gate. Come for the food, stay for the fun. Become a part of Selena's family. Selena's offers daily specials, happy hour at the bar, and catering, plus dietary menus for celiac, vegan, and vegetarian guests. Find out more at Selena's.com, S-A-L-E-N-A-S.com.
The Union Tavern is a beautifully restored building with a rich history and views of Lake Ontario. Featuring New England favorites and hearty comfort food, everyone will have a favorite dish. From large groups to intimate dinners, there's plenty of space to celebrate special occasions. Come visit us at 4565 Culver Road, right across from the Jackrabbit.